Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsyed.
Hey, the warden let me out.
Yeah.
I just had to promise to be back.
Well, I'm glad you're back, man. I missed you. 2 weeks gone?
Yeah.
I get used to having you around, but we had some good Ash Hampton came in.
Well, I was...
Pastor Rick filled in, so it's always nice to have Pastor Rick. There he is. Always nice to have somebody in the studio with me.
I knew I had to get back, or basically you'd find better talent.
Well, let's take care of a little business, and I'll let you handle this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're talking about overhead door, Whitmore Lake. You know, I've dealt with them. I recently had them come out and give me a quote on some sectional doors. They do commercial. They do residential. And very friendly. And the quote was half of what my normal supplier, who I'm very dissatisfied with their performance anyhow, half. I mean, really, really good service.
Yeah, yeah. And you can reach them at 734-449-0400, or you can go online. OHDWhitmoreLake.com, overhead door in Whitmore Lake. So all you got to do, Google them up, overhead door. And I want to say something
and
to
they
people.
Do the overall area. I mean, they don't just, they're just not limited to Whitmore Lake.
Yeah, they're Ann Arbor, Novi, Canton. Detroit, whatever. They're all over the place. But I will tell this, when our power went out, right, and most people don't think about this, my garage door, I went to do the manual open and it wouldn't. And then I jiggered it and got it fixed. And then the rope broke. And I'm like, you know, it's just one of those things. So call overhead door because, you know, you can replace that old nasty drive because most of us live with them when they're 20 years old.
Yep.
And they're breaking. And mine's broke down a couple times and I've managed to kind of parcel it back together. But I'm due and I'm going to have to eventually change that out. But you know what? Call up overhead door. Say, hey, why don't you give me a quote for a new chain or a new drive or whatever. You don't have to replace the old door. You can just do the opener part,
yep.
You know, which is important. And if you got a wife and kids or whatever, spend a little money and call overhead door. 734-449-0400. Good people out there. So, and you had a great experience with
yep.
them, so that's awesome. Okay, so we're going to jump right into business. What we do every Saturday on The Drift is go over the news that I put on thedailydrift.com, and if you're not going there, you should be. It's www.thedailydrift.com. I work hard to put that information up there, people. Go to it, www.thedailydrift.com, and let me know if you're looking at it. You can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com.
Gary will take it personally if you do not take advantage of his efforts.
Yes, please. It's the news you need to know, so make sure you're going there. We're going to start. We're going to talk about this fake Russian collusion crap that the Democrats keep pushing and the media keeps pushing. It's garbage, folks. That's all I'm going to tell you. But before we get to that, there was one. You know what? In 2018, we have a chance to replace this retarded senator, Debbie Stabenow, who is nothing but an Obama acolyte, a Hillary Clinton protectionist. And Derek, I don't want to play track one. This is Chuck Todd, because she's just stepping in, and Gorsuch is a good pick. He's the great guy. He's the exact person to replace Antonin Scalia, right? And this piece of human garbage, Debbie Stabenow, is saying, I'm not going to vote for him. Really, Debbie? Well, we're not going to vote for you either. How's that?
When you compare Gorsuch to Kagan.
Oh, Jesus.
Sotomayor, I mean, come on.
Every time I think about Debbie Stabenow, I want to scream, and you can tell I'm on fire today because I'm just mad as heck. Derek, you got that track ready? Let's listen to Chuck Todler, who's interviewing her.
This is somebody out of the mainstream. We should have a nominee that can get a bipartisan 60-vote threshold. That's really what we said when we were in the majority. We didn't change the rules on Supreme Court because we felt it should be 60
but
votes,
Senator, there's
mainstream
nothing,
majority.
There is nothing written anywhere that says a Supreme Court justice has to be confirmed on a bipartisan vote.
That's true. I think that if you ask the American people, they would say that, though, that in terms of what's good for people. I know in Michigan, if I ask people, what would you like to see, an extreme judge on one end or the other, or somebody that can be mainstream and get bipartisan votes, they want somebody in the mainstream.
Well, as you know, one person's mainstream candidate is another person's extreme candidate, for what it's worth these days, the way. But I want to go
right,
back to,
right.
Okay, you have made a case to me why you're not voting for him. I get that. Why not go to the Senate floor, have this debate, maybe fund a campaign to try to convince three or four Republicans to join you in this. But why not give them an up or down vote?
Because in my perspective, this is to say no, go back to the drawing board.
All right, because she's a political partisan hack. That's what Debbie Stabenow is, an Obama acolyte. All she cares about is no, no, no.
If you want to talk about bipartisan, then fine, let some Democrats come over the line and make it bipartisan, just like Republicans did for Kagan and for Sotomayor. Yeah. You know, I mean, we let Obama have his picks. What is their problem? Yeah. If you want it bipartisan, then stop being party hacks and do the right thing for the American people. Yeah.
And I want to say this to all you Republican and conservative farmers across the state of Michigan. Stop voting for Debbie Stabenow. This is what you're getting, a political partisan hack. This woman does not deserve to be representing us. And Debbie, let me tell you, you liar, the people of Michigan voted for Donald Trump, knowing full well that he was going to pick somebody, and he picked Gorsuch. The people of Michigan want Gorsuch. We don't want some liberal weenie on the court.
Better yet, don't just not vote for Stabenow. Do not. I mean, actively work against her. Let your neighbors know about her. Talk it up. Don't just be silent about it. We've got to get somebody else in there.
Yeah, well, you know, and I'm going to go to this again, crowdpack.com, look up Kid Rock. Somebody out there knows Kid Rock or knows his agent or knows. Just tell him to think about it. For crying out loud, come on one radio show, one TV show, and watch the response, kid, that you will get. You don't have to be an expert in anything. You have to have some common sense. You have to listen to what the people say and do the right thing. You don't have to have it. You know what? Experience at this point in our world is bad.
It's
we don't want political experience, yep, because all you're going to do is screw us. So please, somebody out there, tell Kid Rock, give us a call, call Fox News, call CNN, and say, hey, I'll think about it. If people want me to run, run. Well, I'm telling you, kid, you will have people support you. You really will. And you don't need to worry about experience because you'll get all kinds of experience from people
in the state of Michigan. That's why we have
advisors.
That's why we have advisors.
All right. So anyway, I'm livid when I watch Debbie Stabenow say I'm not voting for Gorsuch because I'm an extreme political hack. That's why, Debbie.
I want to testify. He's livid.
Yeah, my blood pressure's up today already. All right, so what I really wanted to get to, and this is what we do on The Drift, we talk about the news, we put on the Daily Drift for you. We're going to go with track two because people are complaining about Sean Spicer. I love Sean Spicer because you know what? He's calling out the media for what they are, a bunch of agendas. And this is April Ryan, right? She's asking him a question about further Russian collusion, right? And she works for what radio network?
National Urban Radio Network.
All right. So a radio network that none of us have ever heard of.
Yeah.
And the Trump administration is nice enough to give this hack a spot in the press pool.
This isn't the first time that she's been in a notable position like this. I should say that she has been in the news.
Yes.
She has really pulled it before.
Yeah. All right. Derek, go ahead and play that real quick.
With all of these investigations, questions of what is, how does this administration try to revamp its image? 2.5 months in, you've got the Yates story today, you've got other things going on, you've got Russia, you've got wiretapping, you've got...
No, we don't have that.
You on Capitol Hill...
No, I get it, but you keep... I've said it from the day that I got here until whatever, that there is no connection. You've got Russia. If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection. But every single person... I appreciate your agenda here. But the reality is... Oh, no, hold on.
Agenda is right.
No, at some point, report the facts. The facts are that every single person who has been briefed on this subject has come away with the same conclusion. Republican, Democrat, so I'm sorry that disgusts you. You're shaking your head. I appreciate it. But understand this, that at some point... The facts are what they are. And every single person who has been briefed on this situation with respect to the situation with Russia, Republican, Democrat, Obama appointee, career, have all come to the same conclusion. At some point, April, you're going to have to take no for an answer with respect to whether or not there was collusion.
All right. Exactly. Right?
Perfect. And what she does is she comes up, she says, and you've got all this stuff, implying that there's more than just what she said, which was nonsense anyhow. And then she goes on, well, this is, I thought it was perfect what Spicer said. He comes back and he says, you know what? I'm not going to play your game. I'm going to call you out for what you are. I'm going to let you have an agenda. He just comes around and says, I know what your agenda is. And he answers it in a way that actually is part of his position as representative of the president of the United States. That's what he does in these things. He's supposed to represent the voice of the president, and he's just basically talking back to her and saying, we're on to you. You know, there was a lot of – I had to figure out what was going on when I first heard about this on the radio. Some afternoon I was driving around, and I wondered, what is going on? Why are they talking about the Spicer meltdown? I finally tracked this down, and, you know, Robert Gibbs, Obama's press secretary, he told her off – much worse a couple years ago, basically told her, oh, you need to sit down and be quiet. This is how I treat my son. I mean, wow.
Yeah. You know? Of course, she plays the woman card. She plays the race card, blah, blah, and the media falls all over it. Listen, this woman is nothing but a political hack, and Sean didn't lose it. He didn't melt down. No. He just called her out for what she is. You're a political hack. Yep. Sorry. That's the end of the story, and you move on. Well, what this all comes down to is, and I wanted to get this last week, so we're going to start with track three and Nunes, right? So the Democrats and the media are still looking for some Russian connection. Let me say this to you, folks. If they had anything on Trump, they would have leaked it already. They would have let it out already. They would never have let him take office. Yep. There is absolutely zero evidence. And the FBI's put that out there, and they want to backtrack Obama's people afterward. But you know what? There's zero evidence. Nothing, zilch, nada. And they keep pushing it and pushing it because it's death by a thousand cuts of insinuation and allegation. They have nothing except the allegation and the insinuation, which they keep putting out there, and they think we're stupid enough to take it. Well, we're not.
Yeah, and it sucks the coverage from other things that should get coverage. You know, that it's a distraction game.
Yeah.
You know, the liberal press does not want to cover certain things, so, oh, let's keep the focus on this bogus roiling of the Russian. You know, exactly what Sean Spicer said. If he'd had Russian salad dressing on his dinner that night, and then all the liberal news media is mocking him for referencing Russian dinner salad. Hey, that's exactly the point.
Yeah, they're hurting themselves because while they're focusing on this stuff, Trump is just rolling through executive orders, right? Mm-hmm. And doing what he promised us that he would do. But let's go with Nunes. This was about a week or so ago, but we'll start with there because it puts it out. Derek, you got track three ready? This is Nunes' original announcement after the Trump tweet about I was spied on by Obama. Go ahead and play that.
At our open hearing on Monday, I encouraged anyone who has information about relative topics, including surveillance on President-elect Trump or his transition team, to come forward and speak to the House Intelligence Committee. I also said that while there was not a physical wiretap of Trump Tower, I was concerned that other surveillance activities were used against President Trump and his associates. So first, I recently confirmed that on numerous occasions, the intelligence community incidentally collected information about U.S. citizens involved in the Trump transition. Details about U.S. persons associated with the incoming administration, details with little or no apparent foreign intelligence value, were widely disseminated in intelligence community reporting. Third, I have confirmed that additional names of Trump transition team members were unmasked. And fourth and finally, I want to be clear, none of this surveillance was related to Russia or the investigation of Russian activities or of the Trump team. The House Intelligence Committee will thoroughly investigate surveillance and its subsequent dissemination to determine a few things here that I want to read off. Who was aware of it? Why it was not disclosed to Congress? Who requested and authorized the additional unmasking, whether anyone directed the intelligence community to focus on Trump associates, and whether any laws, regulations, or procedures were violated. I've asked the directors of FBI, NSA, and CIA to expeditiously comply with my March 15th letter that you all received a couple weeks ago, and to provide a full account of these surveillance activities.
And oddly enough, the NSA and the FBI didn't want to testify this last week, did they? Yeah. All of a sudden, they're like, ooh, oddly quiet, right?
Yeah.
And then we hear yesterday, more breaking news, Adam Housley this time talking on Fox about the unmasking. Derek, you got track four ready. Let's go with that.
Yeah, Harris, we've been spoken to by a number of sources for the last couple of days, and it really came to a crescendo this morning because of a report yesterday that apparently outed two of Nunes' sources. Our sources, who have direct knowledge of what took place, were upset because those two individuals, they say, had nothing to do with the outing of this information. So let's go through what some of the headlines are. First of all, we found and we've learned that the surveillance that led to the unmasking started way before President Trump was even the GOP nominee. So basically, they started the surveillance to all this at some point earlier last year. The person who did the unmasking, I'm told, is very well known, very high up, very senior in the intelligence world, and is not in the FBI.
Not FBI.
This led to other surveillance, which led to multiple names being unmasked. Again, these are people who are private citizens in the United States. This had nothing to do with Russia, I'm told, or foreign intelligence of any kind. We're also told the people who helped Devin Nunes navigate were the two individuals that the story was reported yesterday about, but they were not his sources. It was a navigation situation. And the reason why they had to navigate, I'm told, is that Nunes learned about this unmasking and who this was taking place back in January. And before Trump's tweet, before he met with the president, and it took obviously a number of weeks to try to figure out a way for him to see this intelligence because the agencies were stonewalling, we're told, to allow him and others to see it. And this is all coming from folks that are in these agencies and frustrated with the politics that's taking place in these agencies. We're told that the main issue here is not only the unmasking of the names, but the spreading of names for political purposes that have nothing to do with national security and everything to do with hurting and embarrassing the Trump and his team. Also, Nunes, we said, knew about this existence again way before, back in January, before the Trump's tweet. Fox also learned that an individual with direct knowledge that after Nunes had been approached by his source, the agencies basically would not allow him in at all. Now, remind you, we're told only two places he could have seen this information. The first place is where the source works. Clearly, that would have been an outing. The second place, we're told, is at a location on the White House grounds. Now, I remind you, the White House is not just the White House that we all see. There's the old executive office building where you can also access after hours and get to the same type of highly sensitive information. So as you can tell, Harris, a lot of information coming out here. We're starting to get much more details on this as the intelligence community really is battling within itself on this. But it seems like there may be a couple of agencies involved here. There are a number of people now, we're being told, that names have been unmasked. Again, private citizens in the U.S. This is unprecedented, Harris.
All right. So, and I'm going to bet a dollar right now, right? Adam Schiff, right, congressman, who's like the ranking Democrat on the Intel Committee, was invited to go because Trump said, any of you guys on the Intel Committee, come up to the White House, the executive office building, the old building, and look at the information. We have it here. And they're like, you bring it to us. No. This is super classified. It's got to be done in the right location.
Right.
Come up and look at it. Adam Schiff went and looked. And I'm going to bet a dollar we won't see him tomorrow on any of the Sunday news shows. He's oddly quiet. He didn't come away from it. And no, he met with the president afterward, right?
He came out quiet.
And it reminds me of the clip we played of Dianne Feinstein and Grassley about a week or two ago because she looked like she just ate a turd, frankly. And I'm telling you that something is not right and the Democrats have been pushing and pushing and pushing. Trump's going to come out smelling like a rose on this one. And this whole thing about General Flynn asking for immunity, I think that's Flynn's way of saying, oh, yeah, get me in there. Let me speak. Give me immunity. I want to speak. And then he's going to let him have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing there, folks. If they had, they've already got everything that they want. They've got the stuff. It's not good enough to do anything with, so they go by innuendo and insinuation to make it look like it's bad.
That's
it's
exactly
not.
What Sean Spicer had told April Ryan in that press conference. He says, so many people have looked at this, Democrats, Republicans, Trump people, Obama people, and nobody has been able to come away with anything that says there was any collusion here with Russia.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no evidence whatsoever. The only thing we have found now is proof that he was being surveilled. You can say it was inadvertently, but you know what? Even if it was inadvertently, they were supposed to eliminate blackout, take away the name, take away the transcripts, but they did not. They not only let it, They targeted him the minute they went ahead and released it as a leak. When they unmasked it and leaked it, you have targeted the Trump personnel. Mm-hmm. That is what you, and that is guilty.
Yeah.
You are completely guilty of doing. And let's get into Farkas.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Let's talk about Evelyn Farkas, who, I don't know what
amazing.
This woman.
Amazing.
She must have had a complete brain freeze or didn't talk to anybody or just went on or maybe she got paid.
No,
I don't know.
I'm sorry. She was talking to her friends in the liberal media and she forgot they were broadcasting. You know, I mean, that had to be what it is.
This woman has got to be the dumbest woman on the planet because she may very well be in prison herself now. And this is Evelyn Farkas talking on, I think it was MSNBC. I can't remember who. Anyways, she was talking and she admits to the surveillance. Go ahead and play track 5, Derek.
Well, I was urging my former colleagues and frankly speaking, the people on the Hill. Mm-hmm. It was more actually aimed at telling the Hill people, get as much information as you can, get as much intelligence as you can before President Obama leaves the administration, because I had a fear that somehow that information would disappear with the senior people who left. So it would be hidden away in the bureaucracy, that the Trump folks, if they found out how we knew what we knew about the Trump staff's dealing with Russians, that they would try to compromise those sources and methods, meaning we would no longer have access to that intelligence. So I became very worried because not enough was coming out into the open, and I knew that there was more. We have very good intelligence on Russia. So then I had talked to some of my former colleagues, and I knew that they were trying to also help get information to the Hill.
A lot going on today.
Yeah.
Mark,
that's why you have the leaking.
So basically she's saying, I took classified information and I put it somewhere where I would have access to it outside of the office, outside of the intelligence arena. That's a crime.
Yeah.
That's flat out crime.
Yeah. And obviously a lot of them were, and a lot of them are still there because they haven't replaced all of these people
yet.
And
she said she was encouraging others to do it. Are you kidding me? That's soliciting a crime.
The criminality of the Obama administration. Is Obama still out of the country at this point? I think he is. Right? I don't know. I think he's on vacation overseas.
He's still in Hawaii?
I don't know if he's in Hawaii. I thought he had made a trip overseas somewhere. He was down with Richard Branson in the Caribbean. And then I thought I heard that he was like in the South Pacific somewhere visiting, doing something, which is odd because, again, he hasn't stepped up to say, I'm not guilty of any of this stuff. Don't say that to me, because normally a normal innocent person would say, I didn't do any of that stuff. You guys are out of your mind.
A normal person says, I am not a crook.
That's right. Let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. You know, April Ryan and her whole entourage of people, they're going to be on Trump forever because he is undoing decades worth of damage done by the liberals to this country. And they're not going to stop, because if they do, that means they have to admit that they were wrong all those years. And they're not going to do that at all.
Yeah, well, it's exactly right. I mean, that sums it up. I think, Gary, they're absolutely scared to death. From Obama to the top people, the Democrats in the Senate and then in Congress, I think they're scared to death that this swamp draining is going to find them guilty of all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
That's my gut feeling. These people are scared to death. Chuck Schumer, scared to death. Hillary Clinton, scared to death. Nancy Pelosi, scared to death. And Debbie Stabenow, scared to death. That's why they're doing everything they can to stop Trump and be so obstructionist. I mean, there is absolutely no reason why you wouldn't say yes to a Gorsuch.
Yeah.
If you listen to the free people out here in the land, we're all asking for the imprisonment of the politicians and the officials that are not holding up the Constitution and allowing the invasion of the illegal aliens and all the other things that they're doing. So these people are absolutely criminals and seditionists.
I'm kind of disappointed right now that we haven't seen anybody arrested because of the leaks right now. There has to be some kind of traceability to some of this. There has to, hopefully something's building up, and maybe they're building a much bigger case and they're
I'm hoping Jeff Sessions is making sure every T is crossed and every I is dotted before he comes ahead, because I don't want anything half boned out, you know what I mean? All right, we'll see you, Gary, we gotta let you go. We're at the hard break. Thanks for the call. We'll see you all on the other side of the break.
P
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The vice president in Columbus, Ohio today on the agenda.
Jobs and the economy. He may even discuss the opioid epidemic. Ohio, you know, is one of the centers of the crisis, so much so that many employees are having a hard time hiring people because they can't even pass a drug test.
Fox's Kirsten Fisher. Bail set at $200,000 for one of the men accused in the Atlanta fire, which collapsed I-85, or part of it.
Georgia's deputy insurance and safety fire commissioner told Fox 5 how they were able to track down the three individuals.
We had heard reports that they were in the area, and we were able to track two of them down, and that led us to a third.
Still, police say they don't know how or why the three started the fire.
Natalie Fox of affiliate WAGA, and at least 112 people are dead in flooding in Columbia. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's 2017. If you're thinking about investing in your house, now is the time. Check out woodrehab.com or call 248-506-6175. Use this year's tax refund to spruce up your house. And what better way than upgrading your tired kitchen cabinets? Wood Rehab can give your kitchen cabinets a new look at a great price. Don't replace them. You can paint or refinish without emptying your cabinets in this very non-intrusive process, which averages 7 days from start to finish. Call 248-506-6175. Ask for Dave. WoodRehab.com will give you 10% off if you mention this ad. 2017 is a great year. Get it started with a brand new kitchen. Call 248-506-6175. Or go to the web at WoodRehab.com. And get your kitchen renovation started today.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, open or cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more features standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton. Just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
Tuning in to catch the drift with a little Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. You like
can
that?
Can you play that some more?
You like that, don't you? Yeah. Well, let's take care of a little business. If you are looking for a boat this spring, call Claves Marina, 734-426-4532. That's 734-426-4532. Spring is here. The lakes are free. Time to get a new boat or get a used boat.
Don't
or go
delay.
Get your boat serviced. Don't delay. Yes, 734-426-4532. Or you can go to clavesmarina.com, K-L-A-V-E-S, marina.com, and check out all the inventory they have in new and used boats. So it's a great place, good people. Call them up, 734-426-4532. Okay, so our guest for this half hour, Congressman, 7th District, Michigan, Tim Walberg. Tim, how are you?
Gary, I'm doing fine. Boy, I tell you what, hearing about the opportunity to get out on a lake, and it's true, lakes are free. It costs a little bit to have the boats and the motors, but boy, they pay off in Michigan. It's the place for lakes.
$10 tag on your license plate, DNR all year, anywhere. I love it.
That's right. So, Tim, thanks for coming in. It's the first of the month, and I guess we want to kind of be brought up to speed on the health care and all that other stuff, but I want to play something for you. But let's talk a little bit about, do you have any inside scoop? Do you sit on some of these committees? Do you know anything about Nunes information? Are we going to see this come out? Are we going to see it in the media?
Well, you're going to see it in the media. Whether you see, at least initially, the clear facts is always a question. It is certainly an emotional issue now. It's certainly a issue that the media is playing for all it's worth to the worst. In the end, who knows? It may come out bad, but it also may come out that this was just a big political thing as well. So I guess we'll watch it play out. I don't sit on any of those committees. I'm not on Oversight and Government Reform Committee anymore. I'm on the Oversight and Investigations Committee on Energy and Commerce, which deals with that area. But we have the appropriate committees looking at it. It's interesting that Devin Nunes' compatriot, the ranking member, went to the White House yesterday after being briefed as well on this, and as we understand it, that was what he complained about Nunes doing a week ago. So I guess time will tell. I think we're all concerned that anything that Russia or any other country is attempting to do that interacts with us in a negative way is stopped, found out, and dealt with. And any individual that is doing whatever is wrong in relationship to another country, including Russia, from our country, that comes out as well, and we deal with it appropriately.
Right. I guess the thing that really bothers me, Tim, the most is how hypocritical it is. I mean, obviously they've said there was no votes tampered with. If Russia went into social media and did something, well, you know what? We do the same thing to Israel. We've done it to other countries. I mean, I got to imagine every country on the planet tries in some way or another to influence another country's election to get the leader that is probably easiest to work with or best in their interest, right? So at what point are we spinning our wheels saying Russia may have been involved? Well, I'm sure they had some involvement in social media or whatever, but is it any worse than Saudi Arabia giving millions and millions of dollars to the Hillary Clinton campaign?
I think that's worse than Donna Brazil giving Hillary Clinton the answers to the debate questions. I mean, you know, I mean, sure, it's not a foreign country, but that's vote rigging. I mean, that's the same influence, maybe worse than Russia did.
Yeah, it just smacks as hypocrisy, Tim, that we're even spending time talking about how much Russia may have. I'm just not buying it.
Well, I'm certainly not buying it, and there's been no evidence. In fact, both sides of the aisle, including the Obama administration, with Clapper and doing the research on it, said absolutely no evidence that there was any involvement by the Russian government or Russians in general relative to our elections that had any impact at all on the outcome of our elections. And so I'm going to accept that as truth right now, unless proven otherwise, and it's time to get on with it. This is pure politics. This is an effort to try to undermine the movement forward of a new administration. And I think it's time that the American public, in fact, all the polls show that the general public overwhelmingly says, we don't care, get on with it. And that's what I'm involved with in Washington, and hopefully we'll get that done.
Okay, so let me ask you one other thing then, Tim, closer to home here. We played at the beginning of the hour, Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters, too, I assume, are both not going to vote for Gorsuch. And it's not like it's a big surprise, but I'm kind of mystified that she would quote the Michigan people as saying, we don't think Gorsuch is right. Well, we voted for Donald Trump knowing full well who he was going to pick. And yet she wants to claim that she represents the people of Michigan when she says, I'm not even going to give them a chance to be heard.
Well, she voted for a confirmation for him for the lower court. She's on record for that.
Okay. So here's...
He was okay at the appellate court level, but I guess this time it's pure politics, and Debbie and I will have to disagree on that. And frankly, she can no way say that the Michigan public does not support Gorsuch. And I think you made it very clear. They voted for, in Michigan, Donald Trump won, and this guy, Gorsuch, was on the list of people that he was choosing. I don't get that.
Reason.
This again is pure politics trying to stonewall.
Yeah.
He was a major reason a number of people swung over for Trump. They said, well, maybe I don't want Trump, but I certainly want Gorsuch.
Right. So let me ask you, Tim, while we're on that subject, 2018, you got any inkling of who may run against Debbie Stabenow on the Republican side?
Well, we've heard some names, of course, Fred Upton being one of them. We've heard other individuals. I was just talking with a state party chair the other night, and he indicated that very shortly a name will be released that he felt was not only a fabulous name but a winner. He didn't give me that, no matter how much I pressed him.
Clyde Ritchie.
But it appears from what is said it's out of the norm. And I've questioned all along whether this time in our history, after seeing what Trump was able to accomplish, that the American public are looking for something out of the norm. They're looking not for the generally selected next step for a politician who is in place right now, but they may be looking outside of that. So I can state very clearly it's not me.
Right.
We're looking for someone at this time, this place in our history can be a winner and can really, I think, speak for the wishes of the people that says it is time for a change. We want our country back.
Right, right. Well, we'll just have to wait with bated breath like we have been. But let's move on to the failure of Ryan Care. Some people call it Trump Care, whatever went on. So we didn't have the votes on that. And I heard you on Gruber's show the other day. And surprisingly, you guys are going to take another crack at it pretty quick.
Oh, no, we haven't failed. And for fear of angering a number of people who are tired of sports illustrations or examples and models, this is just halftime. We've come in with an unearned error that we put out there, and the other team got a field goal that put them up just before halftime. We're in. The coaches are steamed. They're hanking on us. The team captains are talking strong, and some of us are in little huddles smacking each other for letting that happen, but we're planning to come out on a field and win the game. For getting into the another illustration that I think would fit, people have talked about politics being the art of the possible and it's sausage making, and so our electric sausage grinder went on the fritz, the electricity turned off, and now we're looking around for the hand crank, but we're gonna end up putting the sausage out. And done in such a way that, number one, as I told a group this morning, we are planning to keep our promises. We told the people, the president, Republican members of Congress, I think to a person, all ran on the fact we were going to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, with a patient-centered approach that gave more competition, greater choice, more creativity, and ultimately less cost for people to be able to use. And we're planning on doing that. So We didn't fail. This is a process that works in Washington. It's not easy. It's not messy. It's not unmessy. It can be messy at times. But for the other side to declare that we lost, wait a second. The bill was pulled to live and fight another day, and the president's engaged. The Speaker of the House is engaged. Individual members like myself are engaged. And even the Freedom Caucus, some of them are starting to come over. And in fact, a few of them are considering or have resigned from the Freedom Caucus over this.
Yeah.
But will you... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But will you try again this session? I'm sure that I heard people speaking and saying, well, it's this or nothing. It's this or nothing. And then all of a sudden, now that it's failed, it's, well, you know, it's not done yet. So where do we sit here? Is it going to be this session?
It's going to be this session, and I'm certainly pushing for it before the end of May.
Then why did we hear otherwise?
Well, who'd you hear it from?
Well, basically, presidential spokesman, Ryan's spokesman, if not Ryan himself. It was, this is the only chance we have that we have to do this. It's this or nothing. I know I've heard that.
Well, bottom line is he hasn't said this or nothing. He says, we've got to get this done. And frankly, in politics, no one ever says this or nothing.
Yeah. Well, Tim, let me ask you, because it seems to me that the Freedom Caucus, and I don't, not being up on the Hill like you guys are, it seems like there was definitely some kind of a trust issue between Jim Jordan and the Freedom Caucus guys, and maybe even the Senate Republicans like Rand Paul, that they were worried that, if we go ahead and we do the reconciliation phase one, that we'll never see phase three get done. Is trust an issue between the Freedom Caucus and Paul Ryan?
It may be. It may be. People have asked me to describe, since Jim Jordan and I came in the same year, we're friends. I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. They supported the 2015 bill, which was all it was to model what we could do if we had a president who was in the White House who could sign it. We showed that we could do it through reconciliation and get a repealer bill over there. Well, we have a president who will sign it, who wants it, who wants this plan, and these guys backed off from it. It may be trust, it may not be, but bottom line is, if the Senate has a concern, Rand Paul or Mike Lee or others, well, fix it over there. The first thing in order to get them a chance to fix it is to get it over to them. And when people say, well, we're afraid that we do this reconciliation, we won't get the third bucket. Well, you can't put most of the third bucket, including my bill that passed last week, that gave association health plans an opportunity, and that's over in the Senate now. But that'll be part of the third bucket.
Right.
But that will be filibusteral.
And that's why you have the reconciliation portion, right? So you can take care of the budget stuff. Some of it can be done in reconciliation. Some of it cannot, right? So I had this one idea, Tim, and maybe it's possible. I don't know. I'm not a legislator. Why couldn't you take all those concerns of the Freedom Caucus that cannot be addressed in reconciliation and have Ryan put forth a bill that satisfies those conservatives, the Jim Jordans, and pass it with an effective start date of when you finish reconciliation? Can you do that? That way it's done in the House. Jim Jordan's got what he wants as soon as reconciliation is over. That puts all the pressure now on Mitch McConnell in the Senate to either go nuclear or go back to Tom McClintock's pre-filibuster rules or something else. Putting that pressure on Mitch McConnell, which is where I think it should be, because obviously the stonewall is always going to be the Senate as long as they keep the 60-vote threshold.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, and there has been talk about that. However, we're working on a 100-day time frame for a reason. One, we only have one shot at this reconciliation bill. And as soon as we pass another budget resolution by both houses, this reconciliation bill is done. We can't use it. So that's why we want to get that done first, so then we can go for it, because we've got to finish by April 28th, we've got to have a spending plan in place that takes us to the end of the year, September. So that has to come up. So we pass something, all of a sudden we lose it. That's why we've got to get working on it, and that's why the fastest, quickest way was do the reconciliation bill first. And every one of these Freedom Caucus guys, Tuesday group guys, Republican Study Committee guys and gals like me had the opportunity for months now to be part of the process to establish what would go in and how we move forward. Why they didn't involve themselves as fully as it appears they deem necessary, because I know some of them were in the same meetings I was in during the course of the past 8 months. I don't know. But right now, it's a time thing. We have, if we were to pass the spending plan, the budget resolution, we right now basically have to the middle of May to get this reconciliation bill through. Secondly, Gary, to remind your listeners that we want to use the next reconciliation bill, which we have the opportunity because we didn't pass a budget resolution bill yet. So we have 2018 reconciliation opportunity that we can use now for the comprehensive tax reform approach. And that we will put in a reconciliation bill so the Senate can't stop us on the clear tax reform that'll put us, rather than the absolute bottom of all industrialized nations as far as our tax policy on business, this will put us up to number two or three, make our top tax rate 20% as opposed to where it's at now. If we don't get this health care budget reconciliation bill through, which gives us a savings, a tax savings of almost $1 trillion, just under $1 trillion. That sets our baseline $1 trillion lower than it would be without this for our tax reform package. So we can do more in that tax reform package, and we can, rather than be easily, for instance, the top rate at 30%, it'll be at 20%.
Right.
That's the process we're working on.
Last time we talked, we remembered that Obamacare was brought to us via reconciliation. Why is it can't be done as thoroughly via reconciliation as it was brought to us? If all the whistles and bells were there besides just budgetary stuff in the reconciliation then, why are we so limited on what we can do now?
Only a small portion of the Affordable Care Act was brought by reconciliation. And that was the portion that got, for instance, Bart Stupak on board, supposedly giving him some pro-life amendments. Those things were put in. The major bill itself, the bill that Pelosi is famously known to say, we got to pass it in order to find out what's in it, that was a normal bill. They just couldn't get that final portion of it through to get the final votes to finish it off without having those particular things put in reconciliation.
Okay. Well, thanks for the explanation, because now I wonder, because my first thought was, why was Ryan pushing to have that last Thursday, the deadline, and that they, why couldn't they spend another week working on it?
Maybe that was the now or never I was thinking of.
Yeah, that kind of explains it. I didn't know that we were under such a deadline with the budgeting process
We probably could have pushed another week. We're ending up doing it. We're ending up pushing at least another 2 weeks, because we'll come back this week. Who knows? We might get, there's a lot of meetings going on. Small group meetings. I've met with some of my members that they think I can have some sway over, and we're trying to bring people across. So we could vote on it next week, but the issue is, it is what it is. Sometimes you have to push forward, and they thought that the seventh year anniversary of the signing of Obamacare would be a great time to repeal it. Well, it didn't work out. So we're in the locker room. We're discussing how to come back out in the field to win this game. And as I told a group this morning, we made this promise. We have to win this game, and so we're going to do what's necessary.
Well, it seems to me that if you've got the three phases, and the third phase is so politically unpalatable to the Democrats that, you know, that's going to be the hardest part, then we may have to go through with the Reid rule on the third phase to get that through. Well, why not just put it all together in one package and do the Reid rule now?
A Reid rule, I assume you're referring to a nuclear option?
Yes. Yeah.
That's never been used, even by Harry Reid, for policy, only for confirmations.
How about if they go back to your compatriot, Tom McClintock, he said go back before the filibuster. When you used to have to do a filibuster, you literally sat there and talked until you dropped. There was no...
I agree with you, absolutely. In fact, the filibuster wasn't part of the process at the beginning of the U.S. Senate. And so you can't say that this is the way the Constitution wants it, this is the way the Senate originally established it, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
only senators, Debbie Stabenow, Gary Peters, are our senators, and they're the ones that are going to have to vote that way. They're the ones that are going to have to go to Chuck Schumer and to Mitch McConnell and say, I'd be willing to do away with filibuster. That's heavy lift. We've been trying to get our Senate colleagues on the Republican side to countenance. Even Senator Cruz has refused at this point to give up the filibuster.
I just can't see it, Tim, because you guys passed so many bills over the last, 4 years now, and they died in the Senate because you can't get 60 votes. Well, you know what? I know they're scared that the Democrats would next time win and use it back against us, but I firmly believe that if Mitch McConnell took the nuclear option or reduced the filibuster rules, whatever he had to do to move things forward, the Democrats are done. They won't come back, because if you push this Trump agenda the way you guys have it laid out right now, the Democrats won't win again. They'll be done. They'll become a marginal party.
Well, you can count on the fact that a good number of us, myself included, have talked to our senators and expressed our viewpoint on the filibuster and the need to do away with it. And their response is, well, there's some time we may need it if we're in the minority. Well, my response has been just that. Why do we think we're going to be in the minority if we do the right thing? Let's do it. But They're the ones that control their rules, even as the House control our rules. We don't have filibuster. And, again, all I can say is I'm frustrated as you are about the filibuster, but right now we're working the strategy for the best way possible with the Senate rules as they are to try to at least be the part of the process that works. And then let's see what happens in the Senate.
Right. I'm glad Harry Truman didn't feel that way about the nuclear option.
Well, they might use it against us.
Yeah. Hey, so Tim, here's another one that hit me this week. I saw some reports that wall funding may be held back in order to try and, appease some of the Democrats in the Senate. Did I hear that correctly?
I've never heard that, so okay. I can't comment. I maybe some negotiation is going on behind closed doors that I haven't even seen the media yet by Trump with some Democrats. But see, again, that's why Paul Ryan and our leadership on the Energy and Commerce Committee, on the Ways and Means Committee, have said we've got to move this forward and have told our team, listen, when Trump came out public and said that he might have to negotiate with Democrats, that ought to wake us up. That is not what we want. We didn't want to negotiate with them from a position of strength of saying, hey, this is what's going through. Do you want to climb on board? But we're not going to negotiate just to get us through with your votes. And so I'm hoping that isn't the case. I haven't seen any report on that. Maybe I missed it, but I really can't comment on it.
Hey, Tim, we keep asking you questions about the Senate. Maybe we just need to get you in the Senate so you can answer these questions.
Well, hopefully we'll end up with a decent candidate. It's got to be a winner, though, and it's got to be someone who's willing to debate Debbie Stabenow on the issues, because she's got not a leg to stand on. She really doesn't. So I'm hoping whoever we pick, that would be great. How about my favorite, Tim? I ask you about this all the time, and I don't understand why the Democrats wouldn't want to be on board with this. How about a bill to get our infrastructure and our grid protected from an EMP attack or a solar flare? Is there? I know you guys passed something, I think, in the Congress before. Can we
right.
make that a priority, for crying out loud?
Well, it is a priority, and
ever since he lost power,
you just have to check Trent Frank's Facebook or website. Trent has been the big pusher, sitting on Armed Services Committee. And he has been a guy that has brought to our attention for years now the danger of EMT and how close it is to catastrophic impact on the United States with our entire grid, with our communication system, electrical system. It could shut us down. Our military as well, that's so heavily connected to the grid and electronics. So, no, it is extremely important. I think it's brought up in discussions relative to our conference, maybe if not once a month, at least once every other month. And we have legislation that goes that direction. Right now, we've got this 100-day plan we've got to get through, and we'll keep working at it.
All right. Well, Tim, thank you so much for checking in with us, and
thank
we
you,
will
sir.
Look forward to seeing you again next month.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, and we're keeping at it. We're not giving up.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Congressman, 7th yeah. District, Michigan, Tim Walberg, thanks for checking in and explaining some things to us. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, and you can email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com. See you next week.